comfort zone. And sometimes it challenges us to do things that it's, as human beings, is very hard to do. And we don't want to do because pride just kicks in. And we don't want to just let it go and release it into the hand of God. Again this morning, as when I was preparing from God this past week, again he had given me some scriptures and some points that he wants me to share to New Hope Christian Assembly. And there's a couple of things that we have heard the last couple of months. And God again wants me to share this with all of you. You know, it's when we go and watch TV or watch news or watch a nice program, and all of a sudden this commercial comes up. And 30 seconds later, the same commercial comes up again. And then a minute later, another commercial comes, and the same commercial comes up. It's repeated being shown to us as we're watching the show. The same commercial, if it's a car, if it's a fruit, whatever it is that they're selling or advertising, to give the attention to us that we're going to be reminded what's that commercial all about. In a time, God wants us to speak on the same subject, on the same topics, because he has something that he wants to speak to us, and he wants us to just say, grasp it, what I'm trying to tell you. And I'm going to say it this morning, there's people in this place who has a blockage, and you're losing something out of the presence of God. The blockage must be broken this morning to allow to experience the full presence of God in your life. There's blockages here, and it's keeping us really enjoying the wonderful manifestation of the presence of God. Again, we titled this message this morning, Seeking God. As you know, the theme of the whole year is about hunger and seeking the face of God. Psalm 24, verses 3 to 6 is our text this morning. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not set his mind on what is false, who has not sworn deceitfully, he will receive blessing from the Lord in righteousness from the God of his salvation. Such is this is the generation of those who seek him, who seek the face of God of Jacob. Father, our hearts and our minds are ready to receive from you. We rebuke distraction and let our hearts and our minds focus only on you this morning. In the name of Jesus, amen. The song of the glorious King, as of Psalm 23, is clearly divided in three sections. And some scholars say that there are three different poems, as we see here, three different sections that belong together. The first one is verses 1 and 2. It speaks about the Lord as creator. Verses 3 to 6 speaks about that receives him as a savior. And verses 7 to 10, we see welcome him as king. This psalm is about God making a royal entrance into the holy city. Therefore, most scholars say they think that it was written when David first brought the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. The Ark was sacred, golden chest that represented God's presence with his people, and it was been fashioned in the days of Moses. Inside, in this place, were two tablets containing the Ten Commandments, God's covenant with his people. And on top of it was mercy seat where the high priest sprinkled the blood of the atonement. Psalm 24, as I look at and I read Psalm 24, is a picture of God who wants to meet with you, is a picture of God who wants to meet with me this morning. A God who has placed something upon that hill that you and I, the only way to go to the place, to the top of that hill, to receive, to experience the presence of God and the worshiping him there. God made a way for us to come and worship him, and that way was made through Jesus Christ. And the only way that you and I must go to that hill, to ascend that hill, is you must go through Jesus first. And it says, the ones who has clean hands and a pure heart. If you have clean hands and a pure heart, you may ascend the hill and meet God and meet the presence of the Lord. But you and I this morning, you're saying, but Pastor, I did accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. This message is not for me this morning. I did receive Jesus. The blood of Jesus did wash me and wash my sins away. But there's something extremely important to us. As you and I want to go up, ascend the hill of the Lord, you and I must have this consistency in going to Jesus daily to experience more of His presence. The first step you and I have done, we accepted Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, and that is great, and that is good, but we just now have to remain in that area. When you and I accept Jesus Christ, it's not a one-day event. It is a daily event, going to Jesus Christ, going to the Lord every single day, because you want to ascend the hill of the Lord. You want to see the manifestation power of God, the supernatural power of God upon your life and upon the area and the people around your life. So it's nice to say, yes, I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. But throughout the Scriptures, He encouraged us to what? To renew our minds daily, to pick up your cross daily, to go to Him daily. It's not just a one-time event, but you and I must, if you want to ascend the hill of the Lord, you must have clean hands and a pure heart. But you and I know, as time goes by, there's things that come and just corrupt our hearts. And it comes and we do things that is wrong in the eyes of the Lord. And we're holding on things of the past. We're holding on unforgiven spirit. We're holding on bitterness. And if that blockage is still there, you and I cannot really experience the full presence of God. There's things that you and I must be cleaned and be cleansed every single day of our lives. Jesus told him, I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. So to ascend the hill of the Lord, you must go through Jesus Christ. And you accepted Jesus Christ, and if you're here for the first time and you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I encourage you to run to Jesus' feet this morning. Run at His feet. He is the only way. Let's not get distracted with all the news, and even times, even some evangelical people, pastors will say, He's not the only way. There's many ways to Christ, to God. No, He is the only way. And we believe that. Am I in the right church this morning? He is the only way. And there is only one way to go to the Father, is through Jesus Christ, our personal Savior. Amen? And that the picture of Psalm 24 is a God who's inviting us to come to meet with Him. And we cannot have a path to God on our own effort. We must go through Jesus Christ. We can't do it alone. You and I cannot do it alone. We cannot succeed in this world without Jesus, without His Father. And He made a way, and simply to trust and put faith in the way, it is made through the death of Jesus Christ. Yeah, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I accepted Jesus Christ. But there are still those who have not experienced Jesus. And this morning, I encourage you to do so. Psalm 24 is seeking the face of God. And seeking the face of God means also seeking the blessing of God, seeking the favor of God, seeking the presence of God every day of your life. Through Jesus Christ, a way has made, and known God is saying to us and to those of us who came and to seek His face, come and ascend the hill of the Lord, because there is great favor in that place. There is great blessings, and I want to pour out myself upon you this morning. To those who seek and ascend the Lord. Ascend that hill and go to the Lord. Even though you and I found Christ, went to God, there must still continuing to go seeking the face of God daily. Now I remember this young boy who was in our youth services. He was one of the toughest. It's on live. If he ever hears this, he was one of the most brat kid you can find in that youth. We were in that office at least three times a week, because he created problems with everybody in that place. But one day, God has touched his life. And all of a sudden, God has even called him to go to Bible school. He went to Bible school from Montreal. He went to Italy. And now he's in Italy. And he thought he was going to be there becoming like one of those big pastors going to Italy. But instead, what they did to them, to these students, is not even went to the scripture. The first thing that they taught them to do is to wash dishes and cook and clean. That's what was their chores. It's like in the army. There was nothing about the Bible at the beginning of the time. But every morning from 5 to 7 and 7 to 9, 2 hours, 4 hours of prayer inside the presence of God, being in prayer. They were teaching them how to pray. They were teaching them to humble themselves in the presence of the Lord. And they called it a house of prayer. They called it a house of prayer. And I want to even explain to you about the house of prayer. You see, now when Jesus gave the Lord's Prayer, it wasn't so that we memorize or recite it. He gave it to respond to the disciples' questions. Would you teach us how to pray? You see, the disciples heard Jesus pray, and now they have never seen anyone pray that way. So they wanted to learn how to pray. So they asked Jesus to teach them, so they gave them the Lord's Prayer. And you and I, most of us here, memorize that scripture, memorize that prayer. Am I right? But there's a sequence into that prayer. It is a pattern for us. You and I at times want to go right away to the request. No, there's a sequence of the prayer of the Lord's Prayer this morning. And I want to briefly go with you this morning here. Now, it came to pass in Luke chapter 11. And he was praying in a certain place where he sees that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us how to pray. And John taught his disciples, and he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth and in heaven. Give us your day by day, your daily bread, and forgive us our debt, forgive us of our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us in temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. I heard a pastor speak about this text, about this prayer, the model prayer of Jesus that he left for us here. And he called in the six rooms that are extremely important there. And he said, the first room, he says, it's a room of relationship. You and I need to know someone in the house before you have a relationship with that person. Prayer begins in the house of God. You must know, you can't go into a house if you don't know that person. So you must have a relationship with that person before you go into prayer. So if you have a relationship with God, that's the first thing you got to do. If you go into the house, you must have a relationship with God. And what's it says, Our Father. So it must have that relationship. You're not going to call Father to the stranger beside your house if you don't know him. But you're going to call your Father, Father, because you have a relationship with your Father. Second one, the room of worship. Hallowed be your name. It is the name of God we use to worship God. We sing the name of God. It's almost like the name of God is the pillar that holds the house of prayer. And we sing it week after week, the name of God. In the names of God, we sing Abba, means Father. Alpha and the Omega. He is the first and the last. Christos, the Anointed One. El Roi, the God who sees. El Shaddai, God Almighty. Elohim, the Creator. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my battle. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that provide. We sing songs about God. And when we sing songs about God, great things happen. So you must have a relationship with the Father. You must go into worship and exalt the name of God and acknowledge who He is. God Almighty. God Almighty. Do you ever feel like the ceilings are crumbling down upon your life? Situation, and you're praying and you're struggling and you're having a hard time to see the light, to see the what's happening in your life. But all of a sudden, when we just call upon the name of God, when you start calling His name, the ceiling starts to rise because God is like the pillar of this household. Not He's like, He is the pillar of this household. I was just trying to see if you're paying attention. He is the pillar. God is the pillar of this household. So we must call upon the name of God. And we sing it daily. So when you go into your room, have this relationship. Have this relationship. Call upon the name of God. And then the third thing is the room of lordship. It says, your kingdom come, your will be done. In this room we are praying as we fully surrender the lordship of Christ. That is the kingdom of Christ advance in the earth. That people will be delivered from darkness of this world and being transformed into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Your kingdom comes in the lives of the individual. And then you go on in the room of sonship. It is this room that we pray and bring our requests to the Lord. Like the son and daughter goes to the father saying, would you give me daily bread? Give us our daily bread. That is the sonship room. And the fifth room is the room of leadership. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us. We acknowledge that we cannot do it on our own. So we pray, lead us not into temptations, but deliver me, Lord. He is our leader. He is the one who's going to help us go through that. He's going to help us go success to be successful and to not go and fall into temptations. We're all being tempted every single day. Every moment we're being tempted. So we must recognize I need to go to the room of leadership. And I say, Jesus, lead me not into temptation. Help me, but deliver me. When the temptation comes, when that cake looks so good and you want to touch that cake, you just turn. Say, Lord, have mercy on me. Help me, Lord. I want to go more in depth to this. When you see that fried chicken and it just came out of that deep fryer and it's so good and gains a couple of pounds every time you eat it. But you're there and you're just tempting to touch it. But no, Lord, help me. Lead me not into that temptation, Lord, but deliver me. Because deliver me, Lord, I need to lose some weight today. We must go to the room of leadership. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us. We want to follow His leadership. And then the room of deliverance. Deliver us from the evil one. See, there's a sequence to go to God in prayer. But at times we want to go right away to the request and want the response right away. Let's go first to the relationship with Him. And then worship Him. And then you can go to the request and say, God, help me. But we must acknowledge who He is first. And some of us here this morning have this blockage. As many of you know, and some of you might not know, but I am a hunter. I kill bambis. Little deers. And I remember one time we were into the forest, and all of a sudden we see water just getting in the forest, and it was water rising every time we were walking in more deep inside. We realized that a beaver had made a dam and had made that blockage so the water cannot flow the way it's supposed to flow. So the owner of the land and ourselves, we said we need to do something to allow the water to flow where it's supposed to flow. So we put some dynamites, and all of a sudden, we blew up the dam. The blockage was free, and the water just went where it's supposed to go. In our lives, we have blockages. And if something is blocking us, you really cannot hear from God. You need to put the dynamite of the Word of God in you. Say, Lord, it doesn't belong here. Remove it, God, because I want to ascend the hill of the Lord. You cannot ascend the hill of the Lord if you're carrying a baggage. It is very hard. You must release it. See, I want to go to the hill of the Lord, and I'm going to get to that point later on, and you're going to see how exciting it is when we go into the hill of the Lord. So at times there are things that block us to ascend the hill of the Lord. And again, I want to speak to you this. And I pray that our hearts will be open to receive from this. I don't know why it's been repetitive and been repeated many times. Pastor Allen spoke about this. Dave Hall spoke about this. And I spoke about this in a couple occasions. But if I'm speaking about this again, it's because God wants to share something to all of you here this morning. There are things that are blocking us to ascend the hill of the Lord, and the first thing is forgiveness. It might not hit anybody here. It might not hit all of us here, but there's some people who are struggling with forgiveness. You cannot fully experience the full presence of God if we don't remove that forgiveness. Pastor, it's not you that went through it. I'm going through it. I want revenge. I want to get back to that person. But I want to encourage you, forgiveness is a powerful weapon. Forgiveness is inviting the presence of God. Nothing like forgiveness humbles us. When we acknowledge that we've been hurt, or when we acknowledge that we have been wronged, but yet choose to submit to the authority of God and to release it to God, and acknowledging our hurt and releasing it to God, new hope, God comes to those who are humble. Forgiveness makes room for God. You cannot have both in sight. You must remove something. It's hard, Pastor. It's hard. But look what the Bible tells us in Hebrews 12:15. Make sure that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no root of bitterness springs up, causing trouble and making by it defiling many. When we fail to forgive, here's the problem of bitterness. Bitterness always will spring up. Bitterness always causes trouble, and it always defiles many. When you got bitterness, those around you are affected, and your bitterness and lack of forgiveness. Here's the sad part that I want to share with you about bitterness. It gives back territory to the enemy. We are God's territory. We belong to God. And at times when the bitterness come in and it stays there, we have lost the territory because it went to the enemy. And you and I belong to God. And I want this to put it in your hearts and your minds. You are a child of God. And you belong to God. So that bitterness must not be there. Don't allow the enemy to play with your mind. Because I remember a sister in church one time and said, I go to bed angry for 1, 2, 3, 4 days. You know what happens? The bitterness grows. One day, 2 days, and it grows. And how can you listen to God if you have bitterness? That blockage is there. Oh, Pastor, it's very hard to do. It's very hard to do. Oh, it's going to get to a point this morning. It's really going to make us think and reflect for a moment. When we allow, it gives back territory to the enemy. Because we are God's territory and we belong to Him. He has purchased us with the blood of Jesus Christ. And when we allow bitterness, it's almost like the enemy came in and he's taking your territory. And that's why we can't be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because you're asking, Lord, fill me up with the Holy Spirit. But God's not even hearing you. Because you must deal. You must wash your hands. You must have a pure heart first. Forgiveness is a powerful weapon. And there are few things that can hinder us to ascend the hill of the Lord. And prayer is an incredible relationship. Ascending the hill of the Lord is a relationship with God, with the Lord. It begins a relationship with God. And we need others to have ascend the hill of the Lord and to go there and have a relationship with God. Because, you know, at times we're not sure to go into the hill, ascend the hill of the Lord, because the last time you tried it, something happened to you, and you were afraid, and you bucked down. He said, it didn't work the way you wanted to work it. So when we're getting close to it, we get afraid, and we stop to get into the hill, ascend the hill of the Lord. And you're not sure what's going to happen, so when you get close, and that disappointment will keep us making progress, ascending the hill of the Lord. You seem stuck and making nothing progress in the faith. And God encourages us to deal with it before ascending the hill of the Lord. Watch this in Matthew 5:23-26. So if you're offering your gift on an altar, and there you remember that your brother has something against you, look what it says. Leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be what? Reconciled with your brother, and then come and offer your gift.
Reach a settlement quickly with your adversary while you are on the way with him, and your adversary will hand over to the judge to the officer, and you will be thrown into prison. I assure you, you will never get out of there until you have paid the last penny. Here, watch this. Look what I'm trying to bring out forth here this morning. Jesus is saying here, it is time, even don't worship me. There's a time, don't come and pray. Because you're bringing, in the attempt of much prayers to ascend the hill of the Lord, and you're not going getting anything. Deal with the situation first. It's telling us, deal, reconcile first before bringing the gifts. That's what it tells us here. I'm not making that up. So we got to deal with it first. And then go to God. It's hard, Pastor. Yes, it is hard to ask someone to forgive. But let me ask you something. I've realized this about forgiveness or bitterness. When your prayers start to pray for a blessing upon that person, you actually know that you have forgiven that person. Because if you're angry with a person, you're not going to pray for them, no? If there's something that she or he did wrong to you, it can be a son, it can be a daughter, it can be a grandfather, it can be anybody. And you're not going to pray because you're angry. You just want revenge. But you will know is when you really forgave and you're living a life of freedom is when you're actually praying blessing upon that person. That's a powerful statement. That's how I determine myself if I have any issues with someone. So I go through the list of New Hope Christian Assembly. Day after day, I look at it. Then I look at all the names, and I start praying. Oh, then I forget this one because I'm upset at that person. No. I reach to Joseph Rampas. Oh, Lord. No. You go, and you will know. But when you say, she did this to me last week. I'm not praying for her. No way, man. But you will really know when you're actually forgiven and you have and you're healed inside is when you're praying a blessing upon the life of that person. The other thing that is an issue that really keeps us holding back is the father love of God. If you and I heard many, the time trusting the person that is on the hill is very hard to experience. If you have a hard time trusting the person on the hill, you will have a hard time understanding and experiencing the presence of God. We live in a culture that many children don't even know their fathers. Many kids don't even know their parents. They've been abandoned. You know how hard it is for them really to trust an earthly father? Because they felt abandoned and pushed aside. It's not intended to be that way. The father was intended to bless the children. The father was intended to guide them. The father was intended, God has created that, so the father will lead them to the things of God. But unfortunately, there's people around this world that experience that trust, that experience that abandoned with this father, earthly father. But let me tell you something, it is very hard for someone to trust again when their parents have abandoned them. And the only way that you and I, or that person who's facing that, is when they seek the face of God and they rely and they trust on the Father that His promises will never fail, that the promise will never go away. Because when He says something, that I will be with you, I will never leave you and forsake you, that's a promise of God. And some of you this morning here have experienced the abandonment of a father or a mother. And it's hurting you. My mom should have been there. My dad should have been there. And you're having this problem of trust. And so if you don't trust the father, the person on that hill, you cannot experience the supernatural power of God. You cannot experience the full manifestation of God upon your life. If I'm going to ascend that hill, I'm going to trust that person. If I'm going to ascend that hill, I'm going to trust about the manifestation power of God upon my life. And you and I, if you want to see, if you want, at times we say, but if God is omnipresent, He's all over the world, but how come In this place, God is moving and not here. Because we don't have the same hunger. God is the same. He does not change. He can do 3 things, 5 things, 10 things at the same time all over the world. Then you wonder why. So why is God not moving here? Because we're not fully trusting the person in the manifestation of the power of God. We're not really surrendering it all to Him or releasing the things that need to be released and say, God, move, 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 move. Move upon our life, Lord. That is my prayer. That's my prayer every day. And I pray that every one of us have that same prayer. Move, God. Move, Lord. How can you send the hill of the Lord if you don't trust the one on the hill? How do you expect our church to reach out a community if you don't trust God and trust the Father love of God? How do we deal with the ascending hill of the Lord? Here is the key. We must go back to the upper room. This is a week of prayer. This is the greatest opportunity, if you're not working, to come on out every single night and say, this week, I'm going to come out. I want to be in my upper room. And I want to experience God again. I got to do things. I got to sit down and I got to just pray because things have to be worked in my life. And it's not going to be worked out if you don't ask help. You got to ask for the one who can help you. What I mean is the when Jesus left to go to the Father, he didn't leave them anything in that upper room behind, but he left a prayer meeting. When Jesus ascended, he left 120 followers up in that upper room. He did not leave them money. He did not leave them resources. He said to them, go in the upper room and pray until you get the Holy Ghost. And when you get the Holy Spirit, you will get all the resources you need to do what God calls us to do. And you see that after that, Peter's first message, 3,000 men came to know Jesus as the personal Savior because of the power of God. Somehow we allow resources to take control of our churches. No church. It is the Holy Spirit that needs to take control of our church. It is only the Holy Spirit that can move things. 5 minutes of the Holy Spirit can change the world. 15 minutes without the Holy Spirit, 15 hours without the Holy Spirit, 15 years without the Holy Spirit, nothing is going to happen. But just 5 minutes with the Holy Spirit, great things happen as a day of Pentecost, as they receive the baptism of the Spirit of God. Just the 5 minutes in the presence of God, the 5 minutes kneeling on God with the hunger, with the passion, with the all your life, God will respond as the day of Pentecost. This is a Pentecostal church, and I believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I think this world is dying because we're not seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is that worry that gives you that power from on high to preach the gospel, to go through anything in life. The manifestation presence of God, the supernatural power of God upon our life. It is not done by resources. It is not done by books. It is done by the Holy Spirit. And when we seek the Holy Spirit, Lord, that is my prayer. My prayer for individual prayer. And my prayer for this church, Lord, that every single one of us that enters into this place will just experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit like never before, like the day of Pentecost. Oh, we put aside the day of Pentecost, but that day truly happened. And you know something around the world? God is still baptizing people in the name of Jesus. Something comes within our lives. But there are times that God will manifest a way that He did in the day of Pentecost, like tongues of fire. God was there before even they even got there. And when God heard them from heaven, that's when He manifested Himself to His people. And the power came upon the people of God. God was there before the burning bush was even on fire. He was already there in prayer, and Moses went there, and that's when God manifested himself. God is already here today. His Spirit is already here today. And James 4 and 8 tells us, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. He is already in this place, in the sanctuary, seated beside you, and just waiting for you and I to call upon him. And you and I will see the manifestation of the presence of God upon our life this morning. How desperate are you for the power of God? How desperate are you for the manifestation? How desperate are you for healings? How desperate are you for transformations? How desperate are you to see someone you love to come to know Jesus Christ as the personal Savior? That's the key. Don't take it lightly, church. Prayer is the number one key of a Christian person's life. Seek. Go in that upper room and say, God, move. Move. As you did in the past, as you're going to do it today, God. As the burning bush, when Elijah prayed, God was already there. And he prayed and the fire from heaven came down. The manifestation of God just happened. He showed himself through fire. The cloud was followed the people day and night. He was already there. Moving. He is already here and he wants to move and wants to bless and wants to manifest himself in a tangible way. Don't take it lightly, church. I'm saying this with all my heart. And many of us here this morning have seen the power of God move. You have seen God give sight to the blind. I have seen people deaf and God has healed instantly. But you say, Pastor, but I prayed and nothing happened. Doesn't matter. Don't ask that question. Just continue praying. Just continue praying. Who am I to determine that? Just pray. Just have that connection with God. Go back into that upper room. Say, God, I want to get back to that upper room with you, Lord. I want to see the manifestation power of God, the supernatural power of God upon my life. I want to see you, Lord. Draw near to me, and he will draw near to you. We are not going to ascend the hill of the Lord if we don't believe in the manifestation presence of God. God wants us to manifest us to manifest of God and to seek him in the upper room. Ascending the hill of the Lord means with having a relationship with him. Again, the Bible says in Luke, in Hebrews 12, 1, therefore, since we also have a large cloud of witness surrounding us, let us lay aside every weight of sin. Put it aside so that it easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that lies before us. So whatever that's holding you down, put it aside. Reject it in the name of Jesus and say, God, it is time. I can't do it no more. I'm releasing everything into your hands, God. Because I want the full presence of God in my life. I want to experience all of you, Lord. All of you, Lord. So you and I cannot ascend the hill of the Lord if you're carrying weight. Remove the things that you love more than God. Let me tell you something. If it is work that's taking your time from God, can I tell you? Remove it. If you're doing 80 hours a week and not even spending 1 minute of God, remove it. Because the work is not bringing you to heaven. Is the relationship with Christ that will bring you to the place. If it is forgiveness, remove it. If it is bitterness, remove it. If it is a bad habit, remove it. Some of us have bad habits. It's harder to break a bad habit than to develop a new habit. Am I right? We have human creatures, sometimes we have these bad habits. Ooh, wives usually tell off their husbands all the time. That's a bad habit. The wives, the spouse. It's not my wife, by the way. I'm just saying other people, okay? You know what I'm saying. The bad habit, eh? Okay, Lord, help me tonight. Give me a room tonight. Anything that's keeping you from ascending the hill of the Lord and holding to you down, must release it. Ascend and seeking is a moment by moment, striving for more of His fullness and more of His blessings. New Hope Christian Assembly, this is what I want to share with you this morning. I'm preaching to the right crowd because I'll preach again to the next crowd next week about this. I'm struggling with the word consistency. This word consistency came to my heart in the since the day I came here. If you're not consistent in your attendance in the church, you're not consistent in the relationship with God. I tell you right now. If you're not consistent even in attending church, you're not even consistent in your tithing. You're not even consistent in your prayer. You're not even consistent in your scripture reading. Consistency is extremely important for a person to walk with Christ. It is an everyday thing. It's not just because I want to feel good today and the next month I'll feel good again. It's an everyday thing, walking with God. Consistency every day with God. Now you may say, Pastor, I come here every day, so it's not me. I'm talking about consistency in anything. You will only be successful in the things when you're consistent. Musicians will get better and better every day when they're consistent in practicing. An athlete will get better and better every day when they're consistent in practicing getting up in the morning. A person who follows God and wants to grow with God is consistent in the scripture reading every single day. And not just when I want to feel good. So I struggle with this word consistency in this church. Because I have a hard time understanding. One day you have 70 and the next day you have 10. I say, well, what is that? It doesn't make sense. The other churches that I've been at, that I had to retain them not to come in because they always wanted to come in. No, there's no church Wednesday. There's no church Thursday. They always wanted to be in the presence of God. They always wanted to be there in fellowship and work and getting and study and worship the Lord. But the church grew because of consistency. They were there seeking the face of God. I just put that in there, and I didn't want to put that there, but I had to share that with you this morning. The Bible tells us in Jeremiah 29:13, you will seek me and find me when you search me with all your heart. You will find God when you search him. And this morning I want to conclude with something. I need a volunteer to carry this around for me for a second. To ascend the hill of the Lord, you must release things. To experience the manifestation presence of God, you must release things. So who will have a volunteer to carry this for me here? This is pretty heavy stuff. So what's happening here is if she would carry this for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, I guarantee you she'll put it down maybe 50 times. And once she goes and she's trying to climb Banff Mountain, she won't ever get up there with that. She has to release some of the stuff inside to get up there. So today I wrote, there are four bricks in this bag. And I need four volunteers. And I know there's four individuals here, more than that. It doesn't mean that you're who the person picks the brick. You're going through that. But there's someone in this place who are going through this. And what we're going to do is when we take that brick, we'll play it and we'll lay it at the altar. And saying it's time for us to release it at the feet of Jesus. So who's the first volunteer to pick up the first brick? And you're going to read it out loud and say what it is that we need to put it on the altar this morning. And the first brick is what? I have not seen what it is. I wrote them, but I don't know where they are. So the first brick is what? The second brick is? Some people have a issue of trust. Some people have a bad habit this morning and it's time to release it in the hand of Jesus. Some people have an issue of trust and place back your trust in God. Some people have bitterness this morning. So what we do as a church, we'll lay it at the altar. And together we stand and we're going to, whoever it is that they're facing these four things this morning, is we're going to say, Lord, it's time for me to surrender all to you. I'm fully trusting in you. I suffered with bitterness for a long time, God. It's time for me to release it in your hands, God. Let's all stand this morning as the band comes forth. I do believe the four bricks.